So today, we're going to use a reference work called Dictionary of Bible Themes, the accessible and comprehensive tool for typical or topical studies by Martin Manser. And the topic is unity. And so I found this image, and together in unity, we're wanting to grow. Now this is broken down into sections. Unity in a common relationship with Yahweh, which is proper because Yahweh should be our focus first and foremost. And I notice a lot of the topical references will start out with Yahweh first. They don't necessarily use his name, but they recognize that he is to be honored and recognized, and his word is to be obeyed. At least that's the scriptures that they use, though they themselves don't necessarily. And it kind of reminds me of going back to what Yahshua told us about the Pharisees. They sit in Moses' seat, so do what they say, but don't do as they do because they don't do what they say. But we have this actually broken down into subsections as children of Yahweh and as the people of Yahweh. And then another section is unity in a common union with Messiah. And then unity through common receiving of the Holy Spirit. And then unity in a common faith. And then also expression of unity among Yahweh's people. And this is broken down into four subsections. Commitment to one another, sharing possessions, giving support, sharing troubles. And then unity expressed in agreement with one another, and this is broken down into three subsections, living in harmony, united in purpose, and being of one mind. And the last two sections would be unity expressed in worshiping together, and then final is unity marks out Yahweh's people. And I've got a treat for us today. This is all on slide, the scriptures that we'll be going over, most of them. And in this, I didn't cover all the scriptures. I got about half of what they mentioned and some that they didn't. But the Dictionary of Bible Themes defines unity as a distinguishing characteristic of Yahweh's people, which derives from their common relationship with Yahweh. First and foremost, and is expressed in commitment to one another, mutual concern, consorted action, and harmony within the believing community. In other words, within the assemblies, though we ultimately look at ourselves as one assembly, a called out and chosen people. And we'll go through a number of their sections and some of the related scripture verses they point out, but we'll also look at scriptures they don't reference. So let's get started. The first section is unity in a common relationship with Yahweh, subsection as children of Yahweh. And we can open up to the Malachi chapter 2 and verse 20, or I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 10. Do we all have one Father? Do we not all have one Father? Has not one El created us? Why do we deal treacherously, each against his brother, so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? So treacherously, such as backbiting, condemning because others hold different opinions, disdain due to not living up to our standards, etc., etc., etc. Now Judah was committing false worship and profaning the temple, saying in Malachi in verse 13, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delights in them. That's the wrong attitude, and that's the attitude that we see in some in times past, in this in particular of Judah. Now they also rejected their brethren, even putting up a wall of partition against any non-Jews. And by doing this, they rejected many of the house of Israel who were dispersed through the Assyrian captivity. They likely reasoned that Yahweh had rejected them, so they should as well. But Yahweh sent Yahshua to come and to recover and restore. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, as the section continues with the, as the people of Yahweh. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is in the law of commandments, contain in ordinances, and that word there is dogma, and it specifically means man-made ordinances and laws, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace. He might reconcile them both in one body to Elohim through the torture stake, by it put to death the enmity. Not quoted in the Dictionary of Bible Themes is 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 12, 23 says, "And those members of the body which deem less honorable, and these we bestow abundant honor, our less presentable members become much more presentable." In other words, we build one another up. We make the seemingly weak among us stronger than us. Our less presentable members become much more presentable, is what's being said here. So we can build one another up, and we can become like one man. This was Israel in the past. At times they were united. They went into war as one man. They accomplished things for Yahweh that he wanted them to do. But for the most part, their examples were not good. Now, Peter draws upon the essential, essentially quotes Deuteronomy and the prophets Isaiah and Hosea in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, saying about us, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Elohim's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Are we coming into that marvelous light? Or are we being dark ourselves, dark among one another, you know, not being a light unto the world, not hiding, you know, the goodness of Yahweh? For you were once not a people, but you are now the people of Elohim. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Yahweh's keeping his promises to Abraham, bringing Israel forth, allowing us to love one another, to love him first and foremost, to love the Messiah, to be one and united with each other, to grow in these things. No longer are we owned, but we were bought with a price, the price of innocent blood. Both the apostles Paul and Peter proclaimed this in 1 Corinthians, Acts, and also in 1 Peter. Ephesians 1, 11 through 15 says, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are the first in to hope in Messiah would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also have, after listening to the message of truth, the evangel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of Elohim's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Master, Yahshua, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints." Love for how many of the saints? Do we love those at the assembly down the street? They're just down the street. How about those 20 miles away from us? How about those overseas? How about those that we have not even seen yet? Are we looking forward to meeting them? Because we're all going to be coming before Yahweh and Yahshua, bowing the knee. And even now we're doing so. Remembering that this section is called unity in a common relationship with Yahweh means we should live in the spirit of Yahweh, being like he and the Son. Yahweh is defined as love, and his Son gave his life expressing that love towards us. This leads us to the next section, unity in a common union with Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Messiah? Is not the bread which we break a sharing of the body of Messiah? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread, one blood, one body, one Messiah, and we are one in the body of Messiah Yahshua. Same spirit and truth, I might add, And this is all emphasized during the yearly Passover memorial service that we partake of. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, now you are Messiah's body and individually members of it. So we're not to think too highly of ourselves, you know, as we're not the head of the body. The Messiah is. So we shouldn't be lording it over one another, trying to have the upper hand or, you know, do something that would be out of sorts with the character of Yahweh and Yahshua in serving us, serving one another. We're to have the same care for one another. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons of Elohim through faith in Messiah Yahshua. For all of you who were baptized in Messiah have clothed yourselves with Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Messiah Yahshua. And if you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But many are being grafted in who are not of Israelite lineage. Doesn't matter. You, I, we become grafted in and are part of the family. As we just read, we are all sons of Elohim through faith in Messiah Yahshua. Ephesians 2, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians 2, 18 through 20. For through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father. So when then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of Elohim's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Messiah Yahshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of Yahweh, in whom you're also being built together into a dwelling, habitation of Elohim in the Spirit. Going over just a couple chapters in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Messiah, whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Building up in love as Yahweh is love. This allows us to have the unity in common union, or unity in a common union with Messiah, and also have a unity in a common relationship with Yahweh. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's Yahshua's prayer to the Father. I don't have this up on the screen, but in John 17, verses 18 through 16, in there it says that Yahshua is praying to the Father that we may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, and they that they may be perfected in unity. Instead of trying to be exclusive, like we're our own little special club here, you know, we should be willing to visit other assemblies, invite members from other assemblies to do things that are advantageous for building one another up. I've read that some think, well, that if you leave them, that you've lost the Spirit. That causes division, and it's not accurate to Scripture. Regrettably, some of that attitude has come down to us because there's been splits, there's been divisions, there's been movement within the body. This is not my assembly. This is Yahweh's assembly. It is one of many that are around the world. Now, because there is a resurgence of the truth, you know, before Yahshua returns, it's said that, you know, there's going to be a restoration of all things. Well, This started occurring about 100 years ago. So we're pretty young as far as, you know, coming into the knowledge of the truth, in the sense of, not that Yahweh's name hasn't been known, it's been known throughout and has been supposedly to be proclaimed, you know, throughout each generation. But there's dark ages, and there's times in which the word didn't get promoted. So it's coming down to us today so that we can hear the word accurately spoken, and, you know, keeping the feast and doing the things that we should be doing. But compared to, you know, other organizations that have been around for hundreds of years, you know, promoting maybe just the Sabbath, you know, they've made more ground. They seem to have been doing better. But it's not too late for us to do what Yahweh has said in his word to do, to come together. I'm willing to go to another location for a year or 2 years, have someone else come here, start uniting. You know, it's going to take some big moves, some big changes to be able to do this. But it's not up to me, it's not up to you necessarily, but together, collectively, maybe some things can be done. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in charge here, you know. We talk about certain aspects of leadership, and I know that, you know, in some assemblies that it's top down, one person down. Here, I've been trained to understand that, you know, we're to work together. Well, you know, Elder John and I are not the only elders in the body of Messiah. There's been attempts in the past to, you know, make, you know, a move to have more unity. It's in Yahweh's hands. It's by his spirit. It's not necessarily by our might or our power. But, you know, we're willing. We're willing to do whatever it takes, whatever Yahweh wants of us. And so we're going through studies. We're going through what the word says about unity and about how it should be. But we also have to keep in mind of how it was in the first century and how a number of the assemblies Yahshua addressed in Asia Minor and basically told them, you know, you've got some things to work on, some improvements to be made. And so it may be that we're seeing the same parallel today. But when we do come together, it is a beautiful thing. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessing, life forever. So all this unity with the Father and Son comes down to a common link. That link is the Spirit in Messiah, which binds us together in love, bringing us to the next section, unity through common receiving of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So, as also is written in Colossians 3, there's neither barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor freeman, but Messiah is all and in all. In verse 13 of Colossians 3, it mentions putting on the love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Perfect bond of unity in spirit, in love. You know, in the Bible study today, we were finishing up on Titus. And I noticed, even in Titus, there's, you know, areas of scripture which talk about, you know, like in verse Titus 3 and verse 2, malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For who? For all men. For we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, you know, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. That should all be far, far behind us. But regrettably, there's still some luggage we need to get rid of. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul, he's going to save me from this wretched man that I am. Well, blessed be thankful. We can be thankful to the Messiah, for he saves us. But all this unity with the Father and the Son, it's a good thing if we can, you know, make ground, move forward. And we can with their help. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Of course, fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Master. There are varieties of effects, but the same Elohim who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each one individually as he wills. Well, Deacon Lucas was speaking in tongues behind me. I don't know what he was saying. I don't have an interpreter. You know, Mary could interpret. What you said something in the Philippine language, but I wasn't sure what it was. But that's all right. But we're being built together as a dwelling place, a dwelling of Elohim and the Spirit, Ephesians 2:22 says. That is a dwelling place for Yahweh's Spirit. Unity in a common faith. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Pretty clear, the idea of one. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of faith. So that indicates it can take some time. And of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. This is the end goal, to be as the Messiah is. And doing so will mean perfect unity with the Heavenly Father. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified, proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Unity and common faith, common salvation. Jude verse 3, it's just one chapter. But beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once given or once handed down to all the saints. So following in the verses immediately after this is a harsh rebuke not to follow in the opposite of having faith in Yahweh, that is disobedience to him, following after the physical flesh, doing immorality, unrighteous deeds by unrighteous sinners, being worldly minded. True faith, on the other hand, is respect for Yahweh, to have faith in him, doing those things according to his will, not being sinners, but rather being saints. Not being disobedient children, but being obedient children. Why do we have to repeat this? Because the flesh keeps coming, keeps popping up. In me, in you. It's why Paul stated, you know, who's going to save me from this wretched man? Thanks be to Messiah Yahshua. And so we have work to do. We have work to do on ourselves, in our relationship between ourselves and the Father, and the Son, and among one another. Expressions of unity among Yahweh's people. The first subsection among the four subsections is a commitment to one another. Are we committed to one another? Can we say that, you know, I'm available for you next week? You know, can we make ourselves available and be committed? 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 5 through 12. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with pretext for greed, Elohim is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Messiah we might have asserted our authority, but we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the evangel of Elohim, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the evangel of Elohim. You are witnesses, and so is Elohim, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, that you would walk in a manner worthy of Elohim, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Expressions of commitment to one another also came through examples like King David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi. You know, commitment, dedication, not being fair-weathered believers, but, you know, standing fast through thick and thin. Have an opportunity, they may be listening today, counseling a couple who is currently separated. None of us know them here, but they're in another state. But we're gonna try to have a teleconference next week and then move forward with the Prepare and Enrich to try to get to core issues that are hindering their progress in the marriage. We have to do the same thing here among ourselves, you know, working relationships as we're instructed to do in this word. And sometimes when we're dealing with brethren, sometimes the door is shown because there's no repentance, there's no recourse other than to separate. That's few and far in between, and that shouldn't be the case, but we have instruction concerning it. But for this couple, I have high hopes that you know, the things that we'll be able to go through will help them to recognize the commitment that they made with one another and the covenant that they made, the words at which were spoken. Now, I was encouraged because I called one individual today, and they said that they have been talking. So, as I've mentioned before, this was a meta-analysis of 300 studies on what makes relationships work. And the thing that came out on the top was communication. So, you know, let's talk about it. All the assemblies should come together and talk. And so this is why we're promoting the Unity Conference and these type of things, whereas before we weren't. Ah, that's not going to do any good. Well, wait a minute. What does Yahweh want from us? Whether I think it's going to do any good or not doesn't really matter. What Yahweh says to do does. So, going to do what we can, try to help where we can. And sharing possessions is another way of doing things. And let's go to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Oh, did we not get through first? Let me back up. Let me go forward. There we go. That's why I don't often bring these up, but I figured, well, don't necessarily want to look at me all the time, so have something else to look at here. Acts 4, 32 through 35, but sometimes these get, I get ahead of myself or don't keep up. All right, Acts 4, 32 through 35. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Master, Yahshua, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. So this is not a new teaching. We can go in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament and find similar things mentioned. Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Is this not the fast which I choose, Yahweh speaking, to loosen the bonds of wickedness and undo the bonds of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will bring out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of Yahweh will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will shine in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And Yahweh will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Those waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the old, age-old foundation. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Well, doesn't that sound good? You have to give of yourself. Don't be concerned just for yourself. Be concerned for those around you. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 18. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on Elohim, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. This is our instruction. Luke 3, 7 through 11. He began to say to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, in another account, we know the Pharisees and Sadducees had come and Yahshua spoke similarly to them. But in this case, the warning goes to the crowd in general by John the Immerser. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say to you that from these stones, Elohim is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, well, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics or two coats is to share with him that has none. And he who has food to do so likewise. Didn't say, go study Torah, go be, keeping Sabbath properly and from pronouncing the name of Yahweh accurately. It says, give of yourself. So, what are we to do? They ask the question. We can ask the question. We're given the answer. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, for not forsaking of our own assembly together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more that you see the day drawing near. You know, giving support in that, not just money, but, you know, giving support like, hey, encouragement. You know, hey, let's do this. Let's not, you know, lag behind. Let's come together. Let's move forward. Got the same goals here. Another subsection, the last one in this section, sharing troubles. 2 Corinthians 1, 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians 1, 7 through 11. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even unto life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in Elohim who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. We do pray. We are to continue to pray for others, and not just for those here in our immediate area. You know, some time ago, we started praying for other assemblies' prayer lists. We all have them, and we're in different locations, so we can't all be under one roof. We understand this. But we should be able to visit and come together at times. And, you know, ideally, it'd be nice to all keep the Feast of Tabernacles in one location, you know, at least on each continent. But, you know, we all will see the Master, and we will all be gathered together. And so this is coming. So we can have hope and look forward to that. But we can do what we can even now to promote unity. Unity expressed in agreement with one another. This is a subsection here, living in harmony. There's three subsections. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for this, for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Another one that's related closely to this would be Romans 12, 16 through 18. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So if we were to do this in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9, which we just read, we would be well on our way to living in harmony. But it takes a gentle spirit. You know, we read in Matthew today that, you know, Yahweh's son, his own words says, you know, come, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he's gentle, and so we should be gentle as well. We should be united in purpose. Second subheading here, subsection. Philippians 1, 27. Conduct yourselves in a worthy manner of the evangel of Messiah, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the faith of the evangel. You know, so we should be hearing of this from other assemblies, that we are hearing that everyone's standing firm, one mind, striving for the faith of the evangel. Being of one mind, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 15. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. Well, if we can all communicate about the differences and come to a conclusion that we can all agree upon, we may have to take a major vote. If there are, you know, 20 elders in this United States and we can all come together and agree, and we can work among all the different assemblies and not be in disunity with our understanding. It says here, be of the same mind, of the same judgment. This is what we're being told to do. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of YAIY, I am of YRM, I am of AOY, or any other set of initials. Now, it doesn't say that. It says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, I am of Kephas, but we can relate this, as we see some differences. Has Messiah been divided? Paul was not impaled for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank Elohim that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you would say that I was that you were baptized in my name. Do you think he was upset? I mean, he's having some harsh words, really, making some points that needed to be made. Some things that he's seen over the years. The Corinthian brethren had a lot of issues, but Paul was hopeful that they would mature to the stature of Messiah. He had this hope for all the assemblies. In Philippians 2, 1 through 5, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Messiah, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Messiah Yahshua, being mature like him. That's our goal. Unity expressed in worshiping together. Romans 15, 5 through 7. Again, we see this common theme, being of the same mind, accepting one another. Now may the El who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Messiah Yahshua, so that with one accord you may be with one voice glorifying El and the Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore accept one another, just as Messiah also accepted us to the glory of Elohim. Isn't it lovely when we all come together and sing harmoniously? When we come together and our understanding is not deviating from what the word says, that we're in unity with Yahweh through the Son and with each other in our understanding. We don't have any issues with names or calendar, but when we look out, when we look to, have unity, we see some differences. So how do we resolve that? Well, it's going to take some time. We're talking about it. We need to talk about it, even from this pulpit. But there's going to be Unity Conference. We have the opportunity to have it held here. So we're going to have it held here. There's going to be discussions concerning family, about trusting in Yahweh, concerning repentance and things that are important. I think we'll also have the opportunity to talk to other elders, to talk about maybe some of the differences, to get some of these things kind of dealt with so that we can be on the same page, keeping the same days of the feast, not being disorderly, but being together. And at some point, we will be ready for the Messiah's return. Are we ready now? Well, with some of the things that we see going on, not necessarily. But the hope is that we will come to a mature man that we see in Messiah, that we will be united. So Yahweh loves to hear the praise of our lips, the calves of our lips from our hearts. And we do come together and sing and praise him. And I'm thankful to do so. Unity marks out Yahweh's people. John 13, verses 34 through 35. Joshua is speaking, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, this is before he even gave his life. So if they're looking at him, you know, as an example of what love is, and they saw him give his life for them, I mean, that's powerful testimony. Of course, we do this in a figurative way, often by just sharing time and doing things for one another. But in doing so, we show our love for one another. In John 17, 18 through 26, we find Yahshua praying to the Father and desiring to be one, having us one with them. John 17, 18 through 26, "As you sent me into the world," speaking to the Father, "I've also sent them into the world," speaking of the disciples. "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word." This is us. "That we may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity." The Spirit is a common binding factor there. "So that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." As we first read the definition of unity in the body of Messiah, a distinguishing characteristic of Yahweh's people, which derives from their common relationship with Yahweh and is expressed in commitment to one another, mutual concern, concerted action, and harmony with the believing community. If this is going to happen, we need to do what we need to do, whatever that need may be, to make it happen. But it's ultimately in Yahweh's hands. So we offer our prayers up to him, asking for this help so that we may do what is pleasing in his sight. So the idea is the believing community that is within the assemblies, that is the assembly of Yahweh. It is with some difficulty that this message is, you know, coming to you from me, because I've been here for so long. And it just breaks my heart that more hasn't happened. Maybe even for myself, more growth. Yeah, I'm encouraged by going overseas and seeing the joy and the happiness and the unity. I do see the unity in Yahweh's assemblies. But I still hear of divisions and difficulties, and You know, for the world to view us because of our love for one another, and to have that stand out, it's got to be greater than what it is now. It's not there yet. I don't think it's there yet. I mean, we love one another, we hug one another, we support one another, but, you know, it's there's still division, there's still differences. Someone looking from the outside in is thinking, you know, what do I believe here? This one says this one thing and this other says something else. We're to be of the same mind, of the same purpose and goals and aspirations, and be united in our understanding of the word doctrinally. And we try very hard to have this happen. I was actually putting this together for the Unity Conference, and I was told what the subjects were going to be, and this wasn't on the list. That's okay. It's a good precursor to what's going to take place. But I'm hopeful that some of the things that we're doing will be at least getting us headed in the right direction, and that we're not wasting our time. I really don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. And I'm serious about doing whatever it needs to take place. Even if that means having all the elders come together, at least within this country, if not the others as well, around the world, and making decisions and praying, Father, show us, help us. Let's agree on this. Let's agree on this and on anything else. Now, the reason we have the fundamentals of faith is for this very purpose. And from what I understand, it's been good for the last, 70 years for those that have established this assembly and others, but there's others that have been, teaching some things maybe a little differently, but it's a precursor to having unity, and it's something that we've shared with the other assemblies overseas that, if we're going to have unity, we really should be on the same page doctrinally. And but this doesn't necessarily keep us from visiting other assemblies or having unity conferences or these type of things. So we're open to whatever Yahweh has in mind for us. And we know what he has in mind because we just read what he has in mind. We know what he has in mind. He wants unity. He wants us to be of one mind and one heart and having sound doctrine and these type of things. And compassion, love, and being gentle towards one another, and helping one another up. I think it's pretty significant when it's talking about lifting up the least of these brethren and lifting them up to a status to where we have some equality, so that no one is above anyone. Except that, Yahweh is always going to be above us. Yahshua is always going to be the head of us. So their positions are, going to be there forever. And, we will do good by uniting ourselves with them in truth and in understanding of what they would have us to do. And so that's the goal. And I pray that we will ultimately be able to achieve what they have in mind for us, because it's important.